Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical, sometimes.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. I am Heather Urquhart.
I am Jay Samuel.
And welcome to the third of our musical improv comedy podcasts.
And this one is about...
Verses. So we have had a response from the last podcast.
Yes.
Adam Kidd, a friend of the Maydays,
yeah.
was talking about our choruses podcast, and he's a songwriter, and mm-hmm. he mentioned something that he calls a landscape chorus.
A landscape chorus. So sounds exotic.
Yes, I know. I thought it was a really good description, and it's really nice to think about. It sort of relates to what we were talking about, doing things visually a little bit. He's saying, you know, you have a mundane kind of verse, or quite a low energy verse, and a landscape chorus, in his example, lifts the song and soars up into the sky. And
so literally the tune soars away and goes higher than the verse did.
So I said, what would be an example of such a thing,
did
Adam
you?
Kidd? And he said, don't leave me high, don't leave me dry. Yes, I thought that was great.
So soaring away, a landscape verse. Is that his term or is that recognised?
I think that's his term.
That's his term, I like it. We'll keep
I like it. I think if I was improvising a song, I go, do you know what? It's time for a landscape
time
chorus.
For a landscape chorus.
Let's lift it up there.
Absolutely. But we're not talking about choruses, are we?
No, we're talking about verses today.
How can you have a song without a verse?
You can't.
You cannot. It's the very first thing you have to do.
Absolutely. When the music starts, you're going to sing a verse.
You've got to sing a verse. Setting up all the variables for that song. Letting everyone else on stage know what you're doing, if possible, what the song's going to be, as well as maybe rhyming.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that you need to treat a song, when a song starts, you need to treat it in the same way as you treat a scene. You know, you need to really listen to your scene partner, you know, your song partner, because if they've set something up in the verse and you completely ignore it, it's exactly the same as denying someone's reality in a scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
Knowing the idea. So, and things might develop very quickly in a song, because the good thing about songs is they tend to heighten the emotion. Sometimes it can turn the scene from being naturalistic to not.
Mm-hmm.
So very quickly, we might discover something in the song that we might not have discovered in the scene. And if you miss that, you're done for.
Exactly. And often songs will reveal what someone's thinking, whereas in the scene, you're more hearing what they're saying and seeing what they're doing.
So musically, let's just talk about that for a moment. What a verse does generally... I mean, they're generally four lines long, aren't they, verses?
Yep.
In most songs, I'd say.
Yeah, most songs have a regular structure of verse. Some of them have an extra line on the end.
Yeah.
Or a sort of pre-chorus line. But for improvised songs, it's much easier. And it sort of feels right to do a four-line verse. What is a line, though?
Oh, there's the question that we can't answer.
There is the question we can't answer. Because sometimes a line goes on to the next phrase of music... and sometimes it doesn't. So I guess really a line is just a sentence, really.
I mean, play something and we'll see if we can sort of feel it.
Okay.
That was one line.
That was a line.
So you can kind of feel it.
You should be able to feel it, yeah. But really what normally happens is you sing a verse and it sort of works itself out.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And it might be that a verse is twice as long as you thought it was going to be. But that's another thing that you're setting in the first verse, isn't it? Line length.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as much as you should listen to your scene partner, I think the musician is the third partner in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the music starts, you know, improvisers can tend to panic and go, oh my God, I've got to sing now.
Yeah.
But I think if you can treat the piano as someone else entering the scene and treat it in the same way, then that should help.
He laughs
A common thing to do is if the musician comes in with something really fast and people panic and think, oh, I've got to sing fast.
Which is not the case.
Which is not the case.
Like this.
I am going to sing, but I am not going to rush.
Perfect. So the actual rhythm that I'm playing bears no relation to the speed at which you have to sing. So can you sing the same line?
Yeah.
I am going to sing, but I'm not going to rush.
So it doesn't matter what I play, you can take your time and sing your verse.
I mean, if I wanted to, you could have played something really fast and I could have gone...
Now I'm going to sing very fast. I'm going to put lots of words in very fast.
Exactly. That's hideously difficult.
But if you played it slow, I could go, now I'm going to sing very, very fast. I'm going to put lots of words in. I'm just going to stick loads of words in even though you're playing very slow. It doesn't really matter what it does for me.
That's great. I love that. I've never heard anyone do that before.
But putting lots of words in very, very fast over a very slow tune when you can put lots of words in. I guess you do it in some kind of musical style. Maybe it's a little bit Sondheim, I don't know, but let's keep putting lots and lots of words in.
Brilliant, there you
just
go.
Discovered things.
Yeah, so that's set your own agenda as the singer, but obviously you have to use the music that the musician is giving you. Okay, so let's get on to what to do with these four lines.
Okay, what to do with these four lines? Well, we mentioned a little bit, didn't we, about the point of view, your character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on a very basic level, I think a lot of improvisers, including myself sometimes, you can be playing a very strange-voiced character throughout the scene.
Yeah.
And then the music comes in and all of a sudden you're singing like an opera star.
Yeah.
And I think if you can keep the authenticity of your character's mm-hmm. voice, but still make sure that you're able to be heard, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I like that, if you can keep a character voice.
Yeah.
So you can tell a story in your song, in your verse. I mean, as much as we're saying, you know, when we're talking about choruses, make them clear, make them really, really simple.
Mm-hmm.
You're only ever going to be singing a verse on your own, so you're pretty much free to do with that verse what you wish to do, really.
Yeah.
And if it's telling a story, developing, you know, you can really use your imagination and be free, and don't let rhyming necessarily stop you from telling your story.
No, that's the important thing, isn't it? Because we'll get onto rhyming in a minute, but if in doubt, you can just basically sing what you would have said.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the exercises that I like doing, is starting to play, and then you just have to sing what you the next thing you were going to say, and that's the start of your song. So you've got no time to prepare rhyme or line length or any of that stuff. You've just got to sing.
And don't self-edit, don't worry. As long as you stay in character, then I think you can't go too wrong.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, so one of the things that you can do with your opening verse,
mm-hmm.
If it's not a kind of developing the narrative type of song, if it's just a song about what happens to have happened in that scene, you can have a lot of fun with rhyming with specific things that have come from that scene,
mm-hmm.
Particularly if you're working with, say, information that's come from an audience. There is nothing more satisfying than weaving in very specific things from the scene or whatever information you've got into your verse.
So we do a song structure called a ballad.
Yep.
In the Maydays, and the first two verses are sung by the male, or well, by one half of the couple, and then the other half of the couple. And so something that we like to do is to put the name of the person we're singing about into the song.
Yeah.
As the rhyme.
Yeah, definitely. It's a massive payoff for the audience.
Exactly. And that would tend to be the last line of the verse?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you've got a killer rhyme, save it for the end, absolutely. Mm. The Roll, Roll, Roll song.
Yeah, the Roll, Roll, Roll song.
Which, again, was quite an abstract song.
Hmm.
In our lives, we must roll like paper that wipes your bum hole. We can be ever so sly.
She managed to rhyme two ply with the word sly.
I think it was three ply even.
Three ply.
Yeah.
That girl, she's posh. She has three ply toilet paper.
With the word sly. And the word sly didn't particularly mean anything in that verse.
No.
But because she put that word first, setting up the rhyme for ply, it was a brilliant payoff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that it didn't make sense, it was just that you can use almost any word to set up your rhyme.
Absolutely.
And get away with it.
So let's have a look at some existing songs.
Okay.
We were talking about ABBA, weren't we?
Yes.
So let's just sing a few ABBA verses that we can think of. Friday night and the lights are low, looking out for a place to go, where they play the right music, getting in the swing, you come to look for a king. When you get that chance, you are the...
So that's classic ABBA, sticking an extra line on the end of the verse, but essentially it was A-A-B-B.
Yeah. A-A-B-B. Let's think of another one.
Okay.
When I called you last night from Casco, all I do is eat and sleep and sing, wishing every show was the show. So imagine love's glad to hear you coming. Suddenly I feel right,
and suddenly it's gone.
And it's gonna be so good.
Musicals, okay.
The hills are alive with the sound of music, with songs they have sung for a thousand years. The hills fill my heart with the sound of music. My heart wants to sing every song.
Or you can even do ABCB, Burkan's favourite structure.
Burkan Eskikaya.
Yes.
Burkan Eskikaya. This is called the Burkan, and ABCB, which means you only have to rhyme once in your verse.
Mm.
I can't actually do that. I think I'm so programmed into rhyming that I either have to not rhyme or rhyme. But if we did do a Burkan about dinosaurs,
yes,
because there's a picture of a dinosaur on the wall, it would go... What's that flying through the sky? I suddenly feel so ill. The dinosaurs have come back to life, 'cause there's a pterodactyl.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Is that easier, would you say, than AABB?
It's a different... It definitely buys you more time.
Okay, so that's a good thing you can do.
But I do think there's sort of difference in my brain. I don't know whether this... Because I guess people's brains work in different ways, hence a Burkan.
Yes.
But I find the shortcut of going A to A and B to B is easier for me, because you only have to remember a little bit of information each time. I think with that, you know, you kind of have to plan your whole verse out in your head before you sing it.
Mm.
So we discovered recently a kind of shared verse, a split verse.
Yeah, this happens spontaneously in a show.
Yeah, and I think it can happen quite a lot in improvised songs when you think, we need to sing a verse, I haven't quite got all of it in my head.
Yeah.
And together you kind of sense that you're going to sing a little bit of the verse each.
Mm-hmm.
So the example we're going to show you now is the song At the Bottom of It All, There's Friendship from Confessions.
And I hope that he would want to take our friendship.
just my favourite song ever.
You see, you're allowed to say that because you didn't sing it, but I rather liked it too.
Oh, did you?
Well, it's, you know, it's nice to sing a song about toilets that has got something heart to
it. That's true. And what I liked about it is the structure was completely new and very unusual. So we had half a verse, then half a verse from someone else. And then Rebecca actually sung a double line length. So she only sung two lines, but it effectively ended up being another verse. And then John sang a shorter verse. So already that's very unconventional. And then Rebecca came in with the chorus.
Yeah. And then I believe we split the verses again.
And then
we
had another round of verses. But there, at no stage did anyone sort of admit on stage by what they were doing that this was something unusual, or that, oh no, Rebecca's verse is going on for a bit too long, or anything like that, because it's that commitment thing again, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you find yourself in a song that you've never done the structure of before, then sing it like it's the song you sing every time.
Absolutely.
So I guess we ought to talk about the tagline verse, which is possibly the most reliable verse you could deliver.
Absolutely, yeah. We did talk about tagline verses a lot in the first podcast in relation to bridges.
Yes, because a tagline song will consist of three tagline verses and a bridge.
Absolutely. So we mentioned, didn't we, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Yes.
That's a classic example mm-hmm. of an existing song.
Yeah.
A kiss on the hand can be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat or help you at the...
So tagline verses work quite well when the song title has been called out, or when you already know the song title for some reason. Then that can be used as your tagline. And the really nice thing I like about a tagline verse is when you sing it, you're signalling to the rest of the people on stage that it would be nice if they sung a tagline verse too.
Yeah, definitely.
Have to, but, you know.
They can happen quite naturally sometimes when people sing a sort of tagline at the beginning of their verse mm-hmm. as well. So it's so nice in an improvised song setting. If someone starts to sing with quite a distinctive opening line, and then it gets echoed throughout the rest of the song.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's sort of thematic within that scene.
And I guess that's why in tagline songs we often have a bridge instead of a chorus, because essentially the tagline is doing the job of the chorus.
Yeah.
It's stating and repeating
yeah.
the theme of the song or the title of the song.
So now let's sing a song with a tagline at the beginning. Your choice.
Okay. What about Everything Must Be Straight?
Everything Must Be Straight!
Yes. I shouldn't start playing before I've thought of something.
Okay, that's the way you're going wrong. Do you want me to start?
Okay, sort of. Let me think first.
Everything must be straight. To tidy up, I just cannot wait. I need the things to look good to me because of my OCD.
Everything must be straight as long as you are my mate. You'll be my mate until the end, unless we end up not becoming friends.
You could have rhymed bend.
Oh, bend, because you drive me around the bend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we discovered another sort of verse, didn't we? The list verse.
List verse. Absolutely brilliant for pimping yourself.
Brilliant.
Which is basically stating you're going to do something and then having to do it.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, George does an excellent example of this in the nuclear physics song.
George Birtwell, as a nuclear physicist, listing the ingredients required for a successful nuclear reaction.
As only George can.
Are as follows.
Is plutonium and uranium and picon and nickel and nitrogen zinc and copper. There is methadone and aspirin and lead and soil.
Soil, toothpaste, cars,
peridium,
pycon, pycon. What on earth is that? But what was interesting about that one is that it ended up sort of being a counterpoint underneath
yes,
the second
exactly.
verse.
Yeah, that was. It's really my fault, but there's going to be a huge explosion.
Again, the great thing with list verses, I think, is that you, because you are, it's quite random, and you're listing in a random fashion, you can repeat yourself a bit.
Yeah.
Because the audience doesn't get bored of hearing it again.
No. And of course, the best and most famous list song of them all must be Favourite Things.
Yep.
It's just a list of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
With a tagline at the end. These are a few of my favourite things.
Yeah,
which
brilliant.
We've talked about before.
Let's now do an example of a list verse.
What's it about?
This one's going to be about genres of songs.
Genres of songs. I like that.
There's a rock song, a funk song, a pop song, and an opera. There's a rap song, a slow song, a fast song, and then some pop again.
There's a funk song and a hip-hop and a reggae song and a some gabba. And there's a soul song, a gospel song, and especially don't forget ABBA.
Piece of piss.
How easy was that? I always thought they were hard.
No, you just name stuff.
Yeah, it just like pops into your head.
That's why George always does them.
Oh, I see. I thought that because he was really good.
No, you just say stuff. Brilliant. Okay, so we've talked about rhyming verses.
Yes.
We've talked about the different rhyme schemes. We've talked about tagline verses.
Yes.
We've talked about list verses.
Yes.
And we've talked about split verses.
Correct.
We haven't talked about verses that have no structure whatsoever.
No structure, totally free.
And we're going to hear a great example of that now in the German Trousers song, again from George.
I thought that it would make the ladies go rah, rah, rah. Once I put on my collage cartas. But instead, they stand idly on the street. They won't even notice just how beautiful and neat a man can look.
So what's lovely, I think, when you abandon rhyme and you abandon structure, you can really, really just sing.
Yeah, you can just get on with singing and getting your point or your story or your point of view or your emotional state across.
Yeah, and that is. I mean, I think Katie goes on to do that, doesn't she? When she just goes, ka, 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 ka.
Very liberating.
It is really liberating. And I think, you know, it can end up being really, really funny, but sometimes when you're doing an improvised comedy show, you don't have to be funny all the time.
No, that's absolutely true.
And sometimes just a moment of poignancy and just singing a blooming song.
Yeah.
It's good, you know. Just enjoy singing the songs. Mm. And so the verse, I guess, in conclusion today, the verse is going to pretty much set up the rest of the whole song.
Exactly, and the way you handle the verse will tell other people around you how to sing their verse.
When you sing, I mean, I always like the sort of analogy that when an improvised song comes in, the character is singing because they have to sing.
Yeah, they've reached that emotional point where they can't go any further just by talking.
So whether it be that the scene is naturally kind of climaxed at that point by itself, or your musician makes that decision for you, make your songs matter.
Yeah, and make your verse mean something. And if it means chucking all the rhymes and the structure out the window, then chuck them out the window and commit even more.
Absolutely, because if you don't care about your verse, no one else will.
Very true, Heather.
So, this week's homework.
Yes.
Please, can someone send us some verses about verses?
Verses about verses? I don't think any such things exist.
Well, let's see if our regular, loyal and loving listeners can prove us wrong.
If they did want to, say, send us an email with such information, where would they send it to?
They could send it to openyourmouthandsing@gmail.com.
That is true. And if they wanted to find out some more information about what we do, what website could they go to?
They could go to www.musicalimprovcomedy.co.uk.
Fantastic. And there's the home of all our other podcasts that we've done.
Yes.
And information about all the things that we do, along with the Maydays site, www.themaydays.co.uk.
Without whom we couldn't have sung all the silly songs that you've heard in this podcast.
Exactly.
But thank you so much for listening.
Thank you very much, indeed.
We look forward to seeing with you soon.
Hooray.
Bye. Bye.
He laughs upon point duty. He laughs upon his beat.